Thank you and good morning. I want to start with a few thank yous. First, thank you to the DeWitt family for your trust, for your passion for this organization, and for your support of what we're building. Thank you to my teammates here at the Cardinals, many of whom are in the back of the room, our baseball operations staff in particular, who have welcomed me and trusted me and been honest with me. And to Mo, thank you for your insights, for your sense of humor, and for so generously sharing the perspective you gained during 30 years of dedication to the Cardinals. What a legacy you've left, and the impact you've had on the people around you and on the organization. I feel fortunate that our baseball lives have intersected in this unique way, and I will treasure the time that I got to work with you. And of course, thank you to my family. I am the luckiest person I know because of you, and I love you. I also want to thank our fans, who I've gotten to know better over the last year and a half. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for your optimism. You deserve the reputation that you have, and you deserve the very best from us, and we intend to deliver it. You know, this organization is special. It means so much to so many people. It's a special place to work, too. Our staff, everywhere you look, is exceptionally hardworking. They care so much. The devotion to the birds on the bat is inspiring. And to those who love this team, if you could see that work ethic, that care factor that I get to see every day, you'd be fired up. And yet, we are not where we want to be. We are not where we need to be. We are not where our fans expect us to be. And we are not where we expect ourselves to be. Our goal is to field a team every year that can compete for this division and for a World Series championship. I'll talk about how we intend to get there in the near term, but first I want to address the bigger picture of our baseball operation and what we stand for, what this organization is about, at least in my view. This unique transition has allowed me to guide progress in player development and performance, progress I'm really encouraged by, though we have so much ground still to cover. It's also allowed me to get to know the organization better, past and present, and to reflect on a couple of questions. Who are the Cardinals at our best? How do the Cardinals win? So I want to talk about those two questions first. Who are the Cardinals at our best? To me, it's simple. This organization at its best sets the standard for the rest of baseball. That's what set this organization apart for 100 years. Going back to when Branch Rickey literally invented the farm system, a short walk from where we're sitting here today. To when George Kissel revolutionized how the game was taught. To when Whitey Herzog went all in on a style of play that set the tone for the sport for a decade. And to when, under the DeWitt family's leadership, this organization, including many people who are here, changed the way the industry thought about the amateur draft and about how to use information to make baseball decisions. That's our legacy here. That's who we are at our best. We set the standard. And that standard is always changing. It means something different in 2025 than it meant in 1925, or in 1965, or 2005. And it's going to mean something different in 2035. So now we get to do it again. That takes boldness to do things our way, not to fear being different if we think different means better. It takes humility, the humility to understand that when it comes to this great game, there's always so much we don't know, so much to learn, and so we can never stand still. We can be good, but we can never be good enough. In this competitive business, the front of the line is always moving. And it takes trust to work together, to communicate well, to have each other's backs, and to hold each other accountable. That's the standard that our fans hold us to as well. And that's what they deserve. A hardworking organization that does things the right way and is never satisfied. How do the Cardinals win? Bill has said this time and again, we're a draft and develop organization. And when you look at our history, I think it's pretty clear that he's right. The Cardinals win first and foremost with core players that we acquire and develop. And fundamentally, that operating model that sustained this organization for decades is still sound. But for it to deliver the results that we need, We have to be elite at acquiring and developing baseball talent in every aspect. That means our process in both the domestic amateur draft and the international amateur system. That means how we assess and value players in other organizations, and our own players too. It means how we develop our players physically, how we teach them the game, how we train them in the gym and on the field, how we take care of them in the training room, how we feed them, how we help them stay sharp mentally. It means how we coach at the big league level, how we get the most out of our major league players. It means how we prepare and game plan every night, how we hire and develop our staff, and it means how we leverage information in every area and how we innovate. So we will act with purpose and with urgency to take a fresh look at every one of those areas and work to set a new standard in each of them. Much of that work won't be visible from the outside, but if we do it well, the results will be a steady flow of championship caliber players coming through our organization, dominating details and winning ball games. A core that comes together and sustains itself through the inevitable change that every roster goes through in this industry. That's how the Cardinals win. And that's how we'll work towards our goal every day. And what does that mean for our roster this offseason and into 2026? Well, you heard me say it, we aren't where we want to be, competing for the division and for the World Series. We have talent here, we have more talent coming, and we have some of the makings of that core, but we need more. And so our top priority will be to build our talent base for the long term. That may mean hard decisions and short-term sacrifices, but to get where we want to go, we can't take shortcuts, and we won't. We will always want to win. And we will hunt moves and decisions that allow us to do that right now, too, as long as they also serve our ultimate goal. But when we have to choose between short-term gratification and our bigger goal of contending consistently, we will choose the long-term. We will make moves with that ultimate goal in mind because, simply put, that's where this organization needs to be. And in fact, oftentimes when you're disciplined in following a longer-term strategy, you not only get there more quickly, but you reap short-term rewards along the way. I've experienced that everywhere I've been, and we saw flashes of it here in 2025 too. Now, our strategy is long-term, but we won't lower the standard that we hold here every day. We won't concede anything, and we will always compete. How we work, how we scout, how we train, how we develop, and how we play, those are things we control and that we get to decide every day, and we will get after them with intent. I'm energized and fired up to continue the work that we've begun with my teammates. I do know that first, my good friends in the press have about 2 years of questions saved up for me, so I will let them get to it. Thank you.
Great, thank you, Maya. How important will that be for you to get, because that seems like where people are getting stars, to get that impact player?
Yeah, it's a critical aspect of what we do. It really has always been here. Obviously, you all who have been here can name a lot of the players that came out of the international talent system that have helped this organization. We have some really good talent in our system right now. We're going to continue to invest in that area, continue to look at it just to see how we can move things forward. I'm encouraged by a lot of what I've seen and heard on the progress made the last few years in that area, and we just want to continue it and look to see how we can keep moving it forward, but it's absolutely critical for us.
Jeff Jones?
Hi, when you talk about the conflict between a short-term game and a long-term goal for you all, after a year that was so premised on assessment and looking where players were at on the major league level, is there a short-term version of the 26 Cardinals that is competitive in the way that you all desire, or will it require a further step back to get to that area?
Yeah, like I said, we're not going to concede anything. That's just not how we should operate. That's not the standard we should hold. We just need to be focused on our ultimate goal. And like I said, I think when you do that, you find that a lot of the time you end up reaping some short-term benefits. We have good talent here. And, you know, there's nothing we should concede heading into 2026. We just need to make sure that the things we actually do and the roadmap that we follow is geared towards that bigger goal. Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, this one of the nice things about this is having gotten the opportunity to see these guys, a lot of these guys up close. There's definitely more that you learn when you're in this seat and going through everything you go through in the seat, but definitely feel like I've been able to see a lot of these guys. I don't like to sort of draw a line of, hey, these guys are in and these guys are out. The game is too hard for that. There's always positive surprises that you can realize by sticking with players, not giving up on players, but it's nice to have a better understanding of what these guys, at least to this point, have shown that they can and can't do at the major league level.
You've been in a spot where you were hired and moved to a new team with Boston. Now you've been in a spot where you've had 2 years of kind of, I guess, runway is the phrase of the year, before you got to the spot. What are the tangible benefits of that? I know it's been awkward at times. You touched on it. We have 2 years of questions for you. What do you get from that experience that better positions you to either move fast or move with urgency or move directly in this role?
Yeah, it's been really unique, and it's had so many positives. I think the biggest thing is really just understanding not just the organization, but the people in the organization. One of the things that my last role allowed me to do was, because my phone wasn't ringing with everything day to day, I had the opportunity to sit down and just get to know a lot of people, see the organization through their eyes. And those relationships are really important. There's always a learning curve. There will be a learning curve even now. But to be able to shorten that where, you know, people can understand me a little bit, I can understand them. I think there's some things that I understand about some of the dynamics in the organization and some of the people that normally it's going to take you a year or two really to get to. And to be able to build those connections, have those conversations without all the noise of the day-to-day, I think certainly it's been enjoyable, but I think it's going to be really valuable.
A lot of the players have mentioned that you've sat down with them, talked to them about the direction. How has that gone? How will that help you? And you've also had 2 years to evaluate the field staff. Will there be any changes there?
Yeah, so as to your first question with the players, that's another thing I was able to do this year was get to know some of our players. Obviously, some of the conversations about their status going forward, some of which I know y'all have covered, those are things that we got into later in the year. But really just to understand, again, you want to see the organization through people's eyes. You should see it through your players' eyes. They're the ones, obviously, that we're counting on. So that's been really helpful. I've enjoyed the ability to get to know these guys, let them get to know me a little bit. Just see what they think. As far as our field staff, there's still some things that we need to sort out with every single person on the staff. But overall, I've enjoyed working with these guys. I expect a lot of continuity. It's a good group of people that really, really cares. You saw it this year. There was a lot of adversity this year. I was in Chicago the last weekend. Those games, standings-wise, were not meaningful. You didn't see anything waver. You didn't see the work waver. You didn't see the standard lowered. That tells you a lot. And it's not a surprise based on getting to know this group over the past couple years, but it's meaningful.
This might be for you and for both Bill DeWitts. Last year at this time at this press conference, a lot was talked about payroll. What can you share about the payroll heading into this coming season and the future? Obviously, draft and develop, of course, but are you going to rise the payroll? What can you share about that heading into this?
Well, it's interesting. I don't think Haim and I have even talked about payroll. He's here to do the job, and we don't know what our payroll is going to be. I can't tell you right now. But we're going to provide the resources for Haim to build what he's talking about building. So, we can take it from there.
Would it make sense to get a big free agent this particular offseason, or is this more of an offseason where you wait?
Yeah, there's nothing I would ever take off the table on that front. But again, I think the big thing, the most important thing we need to do you know, in free agency or any arena, is just make sure that the things we're pursuing actually make sense for what we're trying to build and what we're trying to build towards. So, you know, I never like to take ourselves out of any opportunities. I just think, you know, you always want to be able to be opportunistic. But we want to make sure those things line up with what we're actually shooting for.
Corey? Now, we talked about the infrastructure of the minor league system and giving players who are coming up that support as they need. How would you describe how that's gone so far, and how much more do you want to see there?
You know, I both feel, actually, a few of us were talking about this the other day, that we've made a lot of progress. Like, when you step back and you think about all the things that we have done, the new processes we've put in place, like all the things that we've asked of our staff and that they've delivered on, like, it really is a lot when you step back. And I think a lot of that progress is already showing in the system. And then I also look and say, you know, we have so much more work left to do. And I know the whole crew in player development and performance feels that way. You know, it's everything that I talked about. You know, we can't be satisfied with just making some progress. We have to keep pushing. So there's a lot more that we want to accomplish. But I think for, you know, so to speak, year one of this, where we were asking a lot of new things of people and wanting their candid feedback so that we can iterate on those things, make them better. Really pleased with where that went, really pleased with where it's going.
You obviously have the background in Tampa Bay, and there's a perception that that's the model that the Cardinals will take, where it, when a player gets to his fifth year, he gets moved. Can you just talk about what your perception of what this will look like is, and whether or not you'll have the resources to keep players that are going to become stars?
Yeah, well, you know, with respect to the Rays, I think one of the things that has made the Rays so successful over the years is that they do it their way. They do it in the way that makes sense for them. You can't copy-paste that, or you shouldn't try. The whole reason it works is because, you know, and I was part of this for a while, and they've continued to do it. You figure out what you need to do to be the best organization in your circumstances. Every organization is different. Obviously here, you know, this organization's been built on and won with these kind of tentpole players that have been here for a long time. You know, I obviously, you can't do that with everybody necessarily, and you shouldn't do that with everybody. And this organization at many points has actually benefited from staying disciplined with that, but it's also benefited from keeping players here. So when it's the right type of player in person, we're certainly still going to look for opportunities to do that, and we can win that way.
I know last year the additional staffing at the minor league level was one of the bigger developments. Do you, kind of a two-parter, what kind of benefit did you see from that? And do you kind of see that area being an area where you guys will continue to grow in?
Yeah, it was obviously something that I and we thought was really important, particularly to restaff that coordinator layer. Obviously, we brought in some folks at the leadership level too above that, but just to make sure that we had really clear programs and processes and accountability for those in every instructional area. It's hard to expect us as an organization or an individual player to be good at something as they move up through the system if we don't have a plan in place for that, just kind of common sense. So it was great to be able to invest in that group, and very excited with the people we brought on. I don't expect it to be quite on the scale of what we did last year, obviously, because we had some big leadership positions to fill, but we will make some additional investments in those two departments, in player development and performance this year on the staffing side, as well as in other areas of the organization.
Mr. DeWitt, dating back to last season, you spoke about the emphasis to get the Cardinals back to being a true draft and development club. When you think about market size and the major advancements in the big city markets, particularly with spending, why is the draft and development model the best way to sustain long-term success with this organization?
Well, I think you develop your own players, that, you know, you have continuity there, and, you know, we're we will call it a mid-market franchise. And even though we're small in terms of the numbers, but the Cardinals have always done more than their weight. So, you know, we're not out there trying to buy the most expensive free agent. And historically, this franchise has had its best and most success with players they developed.
Eric? Following up on that,
think we're all aware of, obviously, what the TV revenue was like in this last year in that situation, as well as what the ticket sold revenue was like this year with the drop. And this is probably a question for both of the presidents. Also on the horizon is a CBA and the potential of a work stoppage. I wonder how those influence both the investment over the next 12 months, the commitment, and also the timeline of when you think the team might contend. All those factors play in.
I'll start on the attendance piece. You know, obviously, we've all seen it. The numbers are down, and it's something that we're not happy about. If to the extent that that's a message, the message has been received. I don't really, you know, think that. What we're all about is trying to think about ways to increase attendance beyond the biggest way, which is obviously what Haim's talking about. We know that a winning team on the field is the most important thing relative to attendance, but then there's, you know, several factors that we can control on the business and operational side. The first thing I think would be around sort of the game day entertainment changes. We've talked about those, and I think it was a nice first step this year to create a little bit of a different feel on a Friday versus a Sunday, and there'll be more of that to come. The second thing would be our fans. We've listened to our fans, and they want value. You know, I mean, prices for tickets, concession, and parking is something that they've expressed, issue with. And so, we've dealt with pricing in a very creative way this year from a ticket standpoint, where we've raised a few sections, but lowered pricing or kept it flat in a third of the seats. So we hear you on that. We're working with Delaware North this year on some value concepts, concession-wise. Parking, we control one lot. It has about 1,300 spaces in it. We're considerably below the pricing of our, you know, surrounding lots that we don't control. We try to lead by example there, not always to success, but we're committed to that approach. And then the other big thing is safety. We hear a little bit about that from our fans, maybe concerned about downtown issues or what have you. And we have an incredible game day staff that has worked really hard on safety in the ballpark. We're DHS certified, which is a huge thing. Not every team has that, which means that you're doing absolutely everything you can internally for safety, and you're recognized by that from the Department of Homeland Security. But externally is something I've worked a lot on. You know, we were able to get successful legislation done in the state this spring for an entertainment district, which will largely provide funding for additional layer of security downtown, a permanent layer, which is very important to us. I'm on a number of different committees and collaborative groups with our key business stakeholders downtown, the other sports teams, as well as the other stakeholders, entertainment stakeholders. And I'm working a lot on that. I work with the police chief on some things directly. You know, it's really addressing all of those things that we can control on the business side. And we're, as you know, new leadership on the business side too, with Anuk and others who are taking that head on.
Far the other, I mean, it does seem like there are some vices there for investment, both revenue streams, but also the looming potential of a labor stoppage. How do those things influence, A, what you'll invest in the team spending-wise, but also the timeline for what you're trying to build?
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, in this game, you're always dealing with uncertainty. It's part of what makes it fun. Obviously, anytime you have a CBA that's getting to expiration, you always know there could be changes. I think it just speaks to, Mo touched on this yesterday, the importance in our situation, frankly, in most situations, of just being able to be nimble and flexible so you can take advantage of whatever opportunities exist. So that's a mindset we have to have. But I don't want to have us put the cart before the horse. You know, we got to stay focused on our goals. Again, if we stay focused on what we need to do and just keep doing the right things toward that goal, that usually leads to the most success. I think we do need to go into this thinking that we need to be in this mode and think this way for multiple years. But again, if we just stack good decisions and smart moves one on top of the other, it usually makes it go quicker.
One or two more, and then you're
you're all going to have plenty of opportunity, as I mentioned before, to impress over time. But Mark, Joe pointed.
Apologies, I did not go to Yale. But this is for Mr. DeWitt. Bill, it just you've been here through all the good times. What was it like this year seeing it empty? And the fans kind of made a statement. What's your message to them? And how did you see it this year in terms of fan frustration or anger, whatever it was?
Well, none of us were happy with the results we've had. You know, our goal is always to get into the playoffs. So, you know, and we've done it for many, many years. So our goals have been reached a great majority of the time. We're not there now, and we haven't been for a couple of years. So, you know, I understand their frustration. They love the Cardinals. They love the Cardinals winning. And, you know, as I said, we have a history of winning, and we're going to make every effort to get back to that.
John, did you have another one?
The Cardinals have always prided themselves on not rebuilding, but having to go through that now, how painful of a process can that be? It's not always linear. There's step forward, backwards. Do you guys, how worried are you that the, you know, the pain of rebuilding will hurt your fan base even more?
I think we are where we are in terms of rebuilding. You know, we're obviously looking to build a better team. So we're not, you know, going to throw everything out and start from scratch. And, you know, we've got some good young players coming. We've got a bunch of good young players on the club now. And, you know, we'll build around all of that.